All right, everybody, it is time for another episode of the Crypto 101 podcast. But before we dive in to our awesome, awesome guest and conversation today, I want to remind you guys of two things. And the first one is that if you go to crypto101insider.com, you can join our private community. Here's where we have our model portfolio and all of our top picks. We also have Crypto 101 University, where we have hours and hours and hours of written and video content that explains blockchain and explains cryptocurrency in a very bite-sized and easy-to-understand way. And we have a weekly newsletter that goes out and quarterly state of crypto addresses that go out. There is just a ton of value packed into this every which way. So I want you guys first to go to crypto101insider.com today, if you haven't already. I also want to remind you guys that Pizza Mind and I recently just finished a book. It took 11 months of our lives to write, and we're calling it Crypto Revolution, Your Guide to the Future of Money. We walk you through this fascinating world of cryptocurrencies and blockchain, and it's part history book, it's part instructional guide, and it's going to really show you guys why cryptocurrencies are globally disruptive and how they're going to actually change in real life and in real terms the way that we buy and sell and even live. We include a bunch of how-tos on getting started with your first exchanges. We give you tips on how to safely buy and sell and store cryptocurrencies, as well as how do we evaluate potentially good cryptocurrencies. And the best part of the book is that we're giving it away for free. All you have to do is pay for shipping and handling. So go to cryptorevolution.com and pick up your copy today. All right, everybody, welcome back to another episode of the Crypto 101 podcast. I'm your host, Bryce, joined by my co-host, Mr. Aaron Pizza Mind Malone. Aaron, how you doing, sir?
I am doing fantastic. It is another wonderful fall day here in Texas. The weather's beautiful.
You look great.
Thank you, man.
I feel great.
I feel like the worst is behind us and the best is yet to come. And that's not a cliche. It's truly how I feel. Why? I don't know. I don't have any evidence or metrics to support
optimist.
That. It's a feeling, you know, and you can't argue about how someone feels. And you know what else I feel? I feel like the future of websites is the metaverse. I think gone will be the days of reading giant blocks of text and having to switch through pages and an immersive experience that leads you to hundreds or thousands of more experiences is the future. And the future is already very present and being pioneered by our guest today. Bryce, who do we have on the show?
So we have a co-founder and the chief operating officer of Sandbox, Sebastian Bourget, which I think it's French, and so I hope I didn't butcher that. But Sebastian, you know, welcome to the Crypto 101 podcast. We're excited to have you.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here with you, Bryce and Chris.
Yeah. So let's kind of get a little sense of your background. You're got a very, very intense background, I should say. You graduated with a master's in computer systems. You've been in Hong Kong. You launched this company that was acquired by one of the largest kind of gaming companies out there, Animoca Brands. And now you're building Sandbox. So catch us up.
All right. Well, okay, of course. So for it looks like it's quite a journey. Like overall, over the past 15 years, I've been an entrepreneur. I co-founded with my business partner, Arturo Madrid, three companies. Two of them have been acquired, always in the space of new technologies. The first one in peer-to-peer, second one in user-generated content and cloud streaming for like sharing your photo, video, music with friends online. And the third one into mobile free-to-play, which, like you said, has been acquired in 2018 by Animoca Brands. But I didn't came out with the idea of the metaverse right from the beginning. It's been 10 years of work and evolving this existing mobile franchise, the Sandbox, which was at the very beginning a very simple game, just like enabling anyone by the touch of their finger to create 2D pixelated world and share them with friends online. That was the beginning of the idea, but it turned out really quickly into massive success. People, we wanted to empower players in becoming creator, and it grew into this success over time with 40 million installs, 70 million creations. And we felt that more than just empowering creators, we also wanted to like enable those creators to truly own the content they create, earn a revenue from what they created, and potentially like expand the content they create beyond. And we were frustrated not being able to do so on platform like Apple, Google by then. And around 2017, when we continued to venture and explore in the realm of new technologies, we found about blockchain, NFTs, with the first crypto blockchain-based game by then, CryptoKitties. And that inspired us to combine the user-generated content with NFTs and launch a new version of Sandbox, this time as a 3D multi-platform, multiplayer game. And fast forward 4 years later, Sandbox is one of the main decentralized virtual world platform. We are proud to have more than 4 million registered users with a wallet, very active community of creators, 10 of thousands of artists, 230 studios, and also 400 major brands who own lands among 22,000 landowners into this virtual world that we're building together now and bridging culture on one side and technology on the other side to shape a new format of entertainment.
It's a one-of-a-kind experience so far, but you guys are rolling out even more experiences in these different alpha seasons. Can you walk us through the thought process behind that? And what can we expect with this upcoming Alpha Season 3 that's coming out in just a few days?
So the idea is like the metaverse. It's a concept that really has been out there for quite some time in science fiction books and movies, and really came up to the light of the general public with Facebook rebranding itself as Meta. But it's still very hard for most people to understand or feel what the metaverse really is and how it's going to transform the future of our social activities and gaming and interaction with other users through an avatar. So we feel building the platform, we still think like the metaverse will be as good as the content you will find in it. And we're very attached being down to earth to produce the content with the community so people can get a first feeling, a first sense of those kind of experience that they can live in the metaverse. We've launched already two alpha season, and we introduced the third one on August 24th. So it's been already a little bit more than a month now. And for one more month, it's closed on November 2nd, people will be able to access 98 experiences built by the creators, by the community, or by Sandbox. Out of those 98 experiences, there are 22 from major brands, from music like Steve Aoki, Deadmau5, Warner Music, Sueco, Avenged Sevenfold, just to name a few, but also from gaming with Atari, with Ubisoft and Rabbids, or from like entertainment in general with The Walking Dead. So touching multiple topic of lifestyle, gaming, etc., that contributes to build a place where you come with an avatar. That avatar is that 3D character, your representation, and you complete quest, you engage. Every day there is a new experience that is available. So you progressively complete those quests and discover new kind of experience that are really not just games. And that's quite interesting. They can be like social hubs, activities, dance clubs, art galleries, museum, and more. And you climb a leaderboard depending on like the points you collect as you complete those quests, and you can earn reward at the end of the season based on that. So in a way, we make the metaverse more tangible, more accessible. We showcase the possibilities for brands, for creators, for users, all of that concentrated in one season. That's the season three.
It kind of sounds like the perfect blend of gaming and lifestyle. Like, it's not just a game. It's like you could go, you could spend your whole day there. You could talk with your friends, you could do different activities. Yet all of like living is gamified in a sense. There's, you know, rewards attached to it. There's leaderboards. And so it really does sound like a an immersive experience, and I'd actually love to get involved in some capacity. We could talk about that later, but tell us, you know, it reminds me a little bit of like Fortnite as well. Like I'm looking behind you at the characters and the movements, and you know, Fortnite has a new season, you know, every so often. And you could really, you know, they have concerts, right? Travis Scott, you know, gave a, you know, multi-million dollar concert inside a video game. And so now it's like just transforming, I guess, from game to life. And so, you know, tell us about some of your grand vision for like what Sandbox eventually will be.
But effectively, we have this experience ourselves more than 10 years in gaming. So the concept of season is something that people understand generally across the board. You see that for TV series, for and in games as well. And the notion of like participating into those seasons regularly and earning rewards based on your engagement. You can choose to play very lightly or to really complete everything, and you will earn different amount of reward, whether they are tokens or NFTs. That's the great thing. And I think we are not creating games, we are creating a new format of entertainment with avatars who interact, who socialize, who express themselves, who dance, who jump, who run. The avatar that you can play with doesn't need to be created in Sandbox. Actually, we have 13 collection interpretables from the existing Web3 ecosystem, from the most popular NFT collection. And you
what are some examples of that?
Bored Ape, Clonex, Cool Cat, Cyber Kongs, World of Woman, just to name a few, but you can also play with nice. Your Snoop Dogg avatar or Steve Aoki avatars. That's really cool, and it creates a very diverse environment where you're not just meeting like people who look like their real self, but they look like have a new appearance, even non-human one, and it's a topic that I find like the notion of digital identity as well in those virtual worlds is interesting. One thing I'm very
so can you bring your NFT like PFP to life? Like it kind of like you could port it to Sandbox and then actually see it come to life in a sense.
Exactly. That's cool. Being part of the open metaverse, and that's what differentiates us from Fortnite. Fortnite, you mentioned it before. Like people spend time, they engage, they buy skins. But all that content they own, it's actually locked on Fortnite platform. They cannot take it out. They cannot transfer and use their Fortnite skin somewhere else. They cannot sell it to other users. So there's a whole aspect of the metaverse that's also touching like true digital ownership of your identity, your asset, your virtual land, your virtual house, your equipment, your wearable, and overall economy behind and jobs. There's also something interesting you said at the beginning, which was like the future of the internet is not browsing websites or social media, but it's more like entering immersive virtual world. Something quite interesting in Sandbox is like users are already spending half an hour, sometimes several hours a day into those experiences. So it really creates a different approach, a new paradigm shift toward how we consume content, how we interact with the content, rather than browsing website and staying an average of 10 seconds on a web page before we bounce off to another. We're really looking to be in the space, to be more focused, to interact with others. So that's a thing that the Sandbox is really demonstrating, that the possibilities of how it's going to interact. And I'm looking forward the next 2, 5, 10 years of how it will keep evolving. Think about it. What was Sandbox like 5 years ago? Or just 2 years ago? It's very different from where it is right now. So in 2 years more, I think like people will, there will be many more users. We already have over 230,000+ active users in the season 3, and it keeps growing. So it's quite exciting. Spend more time, have more ways to express yourself with an avatar, and also encompass all the different sectors of the industry, whether of course, you're socializing, gaming, but also think about learning, shopping, dating, working, your job. We have even had our first wedding in the metaverse just 2 weeks ago, a couple from Singapore.
Get out.
That's wild. Well,
exciting, right? I was the first one, but I'm sure they are leading the way. There will be much and a lot of different meaningful interaction between avatars. And that portion of time they are spending in virtual world, it's very real. So how do you call it virtual reality anymore? I do think it's just becoming a part of our reality.
You know, the last time I was in San Diego, I was over at the mall in La Jolla, and they had this machine that would take a 3D scan of your entire body and then turn you and your family or you and your spouse into action figures that you could then put on the mantle. Is there going to be a possibility for us to scan ourselves as avatars into the game someday?
I think it's very likely. And what's important is to give the freedom for people to choose if they want to be as realistic as possible into the metaverse, or they want to be totally different. We've seen like one of the element of success behind PFP NFT collection is also like the fact that it's very much more creative and different identity. It can be animal based, it can be like robotic based, cyberpunk, and so on. And you don't find that so much in any other virtual world or platform. That's cool. I think both options is really cool.
Yeah. No, there's a ton of different, you know, directions that we could kind of see virtual reality kind of splintering into. And I think what you said about virtual reality no longer be calling that, but it's just actual reality is definitely the probably what the future holds in store for us. And, you know, at Sandbox, you guys are not only building a lot of this future, but you guys are funding a lot of the future as well to help kind of advance metaverse fields like gaming and fashion and finance and security and all that kind of stuff. So could you tell us a little bit about what you guys call the Game Makers Fund?
Absolutely. Our idea is to inspire the community. We're the platform. We provide the tools with our 3D editor, with our no-code game maker. And those we create those tools so they are as accessible as possible. Like, you do not need to know programming or any programming language. You don't need to have any previous skills to start using them. So that means like content creation now becomes accessible to just anyone. It's not just like professional studios, people who've been in the industry before. That will create a great diversity of content, new type of games and new type of experiences beyond. And the Game Maker Fund is here to support that creativity. So anyone who has a project, any kind of wild idea, something that goes beyond their imagination, they can pitch it to us, to our Game Maker Fund team on www.sandbox.game/fund. We review each project and we see how we can support that creativity so it becomes playable and concretely accessible on your land in Sandbox. And the season three, over the 98 experiences, has 22 brands, branded experiences, and the rest is user-generated content. GMF, Game Maker Fund, we call it GMF internally, GMF-supported experiences that are already featured. So I think it's also great to showcase what the community has done and how we've been inspired, using that to inspire more and more creators around the world.
What kind of computer or gaming console is needed to access Sandbox? Like, do we need like the biggest and best thing out there with multiple GPUs in it, or is it something that people can run on a laptop?
To make the metaverse as accessible as possible to everyone, you have to build it so it can run on almost any device. We started with PC and Mac, and it ran with roughly any computer. I remember I was having fun running it on like even an old computer with 4 GB of RAM and a low graphic card. It does run. You don't need to have like a high-end PC or a machine for VR or hardcore gaming. If not, that would restrict a lot the accessibility. The next step is to make Sandbox on mobile. We know that the next step to mainstream is like people more and more are playing on their mobile device and want to access the metaverse from just anywhere. And that's what we're working on. And that would be one of our major goals in 2023.
You know, I think what's really cool and one of my big takeaways from this conversation so far has been that you guys were really like a gaming company and a storytelling company that applied blockchain and applied cryptocurrency to it. Kind of, you know, after you were already, you know, deep in the upstart of your company, whereas like a lot of the gaming companies that are affiliated with blockchain and crypto now are like, hey, like, let's launch a crypto token, let's do this, and we'll kind of tack gaming on top of it, if you will. And so you know, tell us a little bit about, I think from a perspective of a person who built a gaming company, what was it about cryptocurrencies and NFTs that was attractive? Why did you guys decide to go down that route? And how is it like crucial for having a self-sustaining economy, or like what's the draw about blockchain technology that made you want to dive into it?
That's a great question. That's first of all, we build a sandbox platform. All the tools, the creator tools I mentioned before, VoxEdit or Credit or Marketplace or No Code Game Maker, the map, we made them accessible in alpha or in beta, even before we introduced a token, because we wanted to have at the core of Sandbox like a very creators driven community and make sure like there was actual product and actual engagement of that community that will drive the circular economy of creators afterwards. We, however, built the Sandbox platform right from the beginning to incorporate blockchain, NFTs, so lands, avatars, assets created by the users, or from premium brands, and Sand token, even though we introduced and sold them later to the community, because we felt as well, and that's our background in gaming before, that if we were just trying to plug in NFT and a token on top of an existing product, there would be definitely there would be issues in terms of like the design, in terms of writing that economy and managing like resources that are on one side scarce and on the other side like with an infinite supply or an inflation, since there's been no control or tracking before. So blockchain technology has truly provided the solution to actually a real problem that we encountered before. As I mentioned, Sandbox started as a mobile game with 40 million installs. People were spending days, sometimes spending hours, sometimes days and more, drawing and building content on a gallery. At the end, we had 70 million creation. All that content, all that user-generated content contributed to the success of the game, contributed to the revenue of the game. So people were spending time, and we earned the revenue as a game developer. And we like, all other game developers, you keep 100% of the revenue. Like it's quite rare, the ability to be able to share that revenue with your creators, even if you want to. It was no solution for that. Platform like Roblox typically have 30% rev share for their creator, since they control the currency, the exchange rate of their currency, the Robux. And even then, they had the struggle first to bring on and come and have that rev share with their creator on the mobile platform, which we were on back then. So blockchain and essentially NFTs have provided a real solution behind to that problem, because we saw how anyone could buy and sell directly from themselves the content without the control of the platform, and the value could flow directly between the users and the platform no longer like capturing all that value. And I think like the combination of all those ingredients, product first, community first, creator first, and then having the NFT and the token is maybe one of the reasons where Sandbox has truly differentiated itself and now positioned itself as one of the main decentralized virtual world.
Yeah, what you built is truly unique and very impressive. How are you able to get the word out to bring so many celebrities on board? I mean, just not just into your game, but like into crypto. Sandbox has been like the number one ingest for famous musicians and artists. Did you just run into them at a party one day, or what was the strategy towards attracting them onto your platform?
Well, I think it's essentially the same. Like our strategy toward brands or artists and celebrity is basically showing them that we have a real product behind, with on one side the creation and the creator community, on the other side an audience of players. And don't think like it was easy ever. Like first of all, from our background in mobile, for the past 10 years, we had experience in branding and licensing. So we had collaboration with Pac-Man, with Shrek, with Snoopy, or Peanuts.
Snoopy, Lam's Family, like that guy.
Etc. on our mobile game. And then it took us almost 2 years to close our very first partner in Sandbox. I remember Smurf, Care Bears, Atari, The Walking Dead. They were like the very first partner that trusted us on the vision and also trusted our like our experience as entrepreneur, our capacity to build a product, and our capacity to leverage the IP for what they really are, what their strengths, basically bringing characters, content, stories, and engaging the fans and the community around them. So adding value to the brand through the product here, which is no longer just a game, but a new form of experience. And leveraging user-generated content as well is something that if you look right now into the overall industry, I think only Sandbox provide that capability for players, for creators to create their, and to mix and to remix their own experience with their favorite IPs all together into a land, publish it, own it, monetize it the way they want. And progressively, we've added more and more partners. And from 2 years to sign, so the first conversation to sign a deal, we've been able to shorten up that time to a matter of a few months to weeks at best, but always with real creativity, real work behind. So every time you see a brand that comes into Sandbox and is announced, it's not just an announcement. You can already see a teaser, you can see a preview of the content. We have put real effort to understand the brand and how we're going to make it leverage the possibilities of Web3 and the metaverse in general.
What's it like building a company, like, you know, a crypto affiliated company throughout a bear market? Because I see lots of companies that say, oh, the bear market is really, you know, compressing our margins, or it's making it harder to hire good quality people or to retain good people. And, you know, as the chief operating officer, do you see any of this kind of stuff, you know, at your company or at competitors or anything like that? What's it like running a company like this during a bear market?
So Sandbox started, the blockchain and NFT-based version of Sandbox actually started already in a bear market toward 2018. It took us over a year and a half to close our first seed round of investment. People didn't believe in the vision. People thought like we couldn't execute the vision, or like Minecraft with NFT made no sense by then, or like the market wasn't ready for it. It was too early. So, well, no problem. We just focused, and like I explained a little bit before in our approach, we focus on like building the tools, showing that we can grow a community. And just like any startup and any entrepreneur, like a crypto startup isn't different in that sense. You still have to prove you have a business model, that you have adoption, that you are right fit, market fit, and so on. We build on that, and we kept on delivering progressively through partnership, through product release, through the growth of our user base and the engagement into our products. And today, I think like we keep and share the very same rationale. Like we deliver the alpha season 3, we have the best engagement metrics ever. So even if it's a bearish market from the crypto side, we can show that we have players engaged with NFT, with a wallet, and they are here. They are here for the gameplay first, for the socialization, and they are participating and engaging with play and earn in a meaningful way. They are learning new skills as well as creator or players.
Yeah, it kind of makes sense that the gaming aspect and the social aspect would actually see an uptick during a bear market, because they need people to commiserate with. They need community to distract them. They need games to distract them and all that kind of stuff. So what an interesting relationship there.
In a phrase, you're right, like less distraction, but also more. The metaverse, I think, is not something that's as a short lifespan. We all know that it's going to be the next major disruption. All the analysts, Morgan Stanley, Goldman Sachs, etc., think like this is going to be the next $1 trillion opportunity over the next decade. So we know brands are coming into. We know there's an ecosystem of builders, specifically in Sandbox now with 230 studios that progressively are building on top of it. And that adoption is going, is taking time progressively, but we're seeing it, and it's not dependent on like market cycle, because people acquire land, they hold to their land, they build on their land, they launch, audience come in and they develop. It's and I think this is also designed from the ground up to have real utility to all those digital assets, whether it's your avatar identity, your equipment that you use in game, the content you use to build those experience and worlds and bring them to life, the fact that you explore the metaverse and bring life to it by interacting with other users, all of that is very valuable, and all that value goes to the community first.
There's so much going on over there. I feel like I need a tour guide. And that got me thinking, you know, what other types of creators have not been tapped into yet that you'd like to onboard in the future? Like, maybe there will be tour guides or podcasts or daily news.
Honestly, a metaverse tour guide is like the best idea I think I've ever heard.
definitely, I think there will be millions of jobs and different jobs in the metaverse. Creators, architects, fashion designers, interior designers as well. But content curation, I think you're right. Like, we've seen that before on YouTube. We've seen that on TikTok and Pinterest. Some people every day, they just try to aggregate what's the best for you specifically based on your interest to watch. Like, what are the most funniest video to watch? What's the new trendy, hypey content that's surfacing, etc. So you are dedicating your own time to make other people save time. That's valuable. The second thing is we're exploring virtual worlds. And the way you can explore those virtual worlds, everyone has a different appreciation of it. But like, you're in a city, you can just walk by every day the same path and not pay attention to anything, be focused. But you can also look around, you can see the nature, you can notice the architect who designed this building, you can know the story of like what those materials or decoration were made of. And some people attach more importance to the storytelling and the culture and the behind the scene making of how things were made until you see the final results. And I think tour guide can provide that value.
Yeah. It would almost be like you might also like an old fashioned analog human algorithm of a person actually showing you what's going on that day. I think that'd be a phenomenal, you know, channel or a service for hire. I think it just having an economy in this, you know, not even a virtual world, but a real world that is accessed through the computer.
Airbnb
all kinds of jobs are going to end up being created. Yeah, absolutely.
Of course. Airbnb moved from like just the renting of places to like all the discovery activities or place telling you the culture of a place. I think the metaverse is going to be a very culturally rich new digital nation where you'll encounter people from different nationalities, from different backgrounds, and also new type of creators.
Like, I like this analogy of like a digital sovereign state or a digital nation. And it makes me think, you know, you get a bunch of people who kind of opt in to being a citizen of a certain metaverse land, right? And there could be a million different lands in Sandbox or in the metaverse. And it makes me think about like, you know, there's going to be a governance system. There's going to be voting. There's going to be rules. And it's, you know, people will have actually more, you know, self-identification sometimes maybe with their digital nation state than their own state in, you know, whatever country they live in. So it's such a fascinating time. And, you know, again, like you said, it all started with science fiction. You know, people kind of wrote about this stuff and thought about it. I just read Snow Crash and this reminds me a lot of that.
We all have this notion. We want to have this feeling of belonging. Belonging to a community or a country. And we can, sometimes we don't choose the country we actually are born in, but we can choose the country we're living in. And I think like the metaverse it's more interesting because we can really choose where we are going, who we are going to be, where we're going to live, in which virtual post, and which community we belong to.
Yeah, it's an amazing thing that you built there. Can you tell us a little bit about who inspired you in the crypto space as you were getting into it and kind of maybe shaped the way that you did the crypto and blockchain side of things?
I think this one person, more specifically, that's definitely been an amazing thought leader in the space and really contributed towards like shaping the blockchain gaming industry where it is now. And his name is Yat Fu, the CEO and co-founder of Animoca Brands. You can definitely see him speaking at most conference in the world. Now he's Animoca Brands Group, which we are part of, as I think invested in over more than 400 companies. So they are helping the industry, and they've been doing so since roughly the same time as we joined them, 2018. They were the first publisher of CryptoKitties. So you need that kind of thought leader with that conviction who not only brought entrepreneurs, founders, communities, and projects, but also all the investors, as Animoca Brands keep bringing more and more relevant investor in the space to develop an overall ecosystem of Web3.
What's one other company that you're looking at and you're saying, hey, man, they're doing something really cool. They're doing something really valuable. What's one other company?
Well, there's plenty of companies. You know, I'm the president of the Blockchain Game Alliance. We represent now over 400 members. So it's been growing as well for 4 years. Of course, I love, like, when we started in 2018, we were just a handful project. So seeing those handful project succeeding and growing from OpenSea, from Axie Infinity, from SoRare, just to name a few, but also like Wallet, Venly, Bitski, or infrastructure related. I think it's great to see and feel and share with like-minded people who are building and have this ethos. And I think it's important.
Love it. Man, this was awesome, Sebastian. Thank you so much for coming on. We have one closing question that we ask every guest who comes on the show. And it's kind of a simple one. And it's just, you know, if this was the very first podcast that somebody getting into crypto and NFTs was to listen to, what's one word of advice for somebody who's just breaking into the industry?
All right. One word of advice. Like, make your own opinion about like NFTs and crypto. Like, find a project you like that appeals to you based on your interest. Try things on, get on board, join the Discord, get a community feeling, etc. If you're interested in the metaverse, start by creating your avatar and exploring those experiences. You don't need to buy NFTs or crypto to get started. That will come along. Like, if you really feel for it, etc., you quite naturally will want to do more, get more involved, and maybe even be rewarded for the time you're going to spend or the content or what you will be learning.
That's a great word of wisdom. Just get involved, roll your sleeves up, and have some fun. So, Sebastian, thank you so much for coming on to the Crypto 101 podcast. Where can people get involved? Is it sandbox.com? Is there a Twitter that people can go find?
Yes, sandbox.game, or Twitter, but also like just season 3. It's live until November 2nd. Anyone can create an avatar and start discovering those experiences, the NFT, earn with the Alpha Pass. And well, if they like it, hopefully they will get more involved and wind up become a creator themselves.
Beautiful. All right. Well, thank you so much. I will I'll hopefully see you around. And next time we're over in France, we'll drop by.
Definitely. More than welcome.
Yeah. At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh, maybe too close. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.